Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, March 13th. The lands that a proposed bill would protect cover a much larger area than expected. Chad Rich reports.
A bill introduced by Senator Michael Bennett would expand the Thompson Divide area in western Pitkin County deep into Gunnison County, and it aims to permanently protect these lands from oil and gas development. The bill has a lot of support from Gunnison, Delta, and Pitkin counties, as well as from Gunnison Energy, an oil and gas developer whose interests in the county do not fall within the new boundaries. It's also supported by environmental groups, like Crested Butte-based High Country Conservation Advocates, where Matt Reed is the public lands director.
The area that is the withdrawal area has been expanded significantly in Gunnison County. It now is on both sides of Highway 133. It hugs the western edge of the Ragged Mountains, extends up the northern side of the West Elks, encompasses most, if not all, of the north side of Kibler Pass, and even the west side of the West Elks bordering Delta County and down to Montrose County.
Gunnison County Commissioner Jonathan Houck said the commissioners support the bill because it seeks to strike a balance between various interests and uses of the land.
The land provides lots of different resources. Some are actually extracted, some are how the resource is used in place, and some is the continuity of good intact landscapes for wildlife and watershed protection. I think that oftentimes we talk about compromise, we talk about how to make things work for everyone involved. And this is one of those issues where there are special places that deserve to be protected, but we're an energy-consuming society and we use energy. And so how do we find places where that extraction is appropriate?
Houck says that not only should extraction need to be appropriate for a certain area, but air and water must be protected during extraction for other uses in the same areas.
So how do we harvest it in the best manner possible? And how do we preserve places where that harvesting and gathering of those types of energy sources is not appropriate? How do we make permanent protections for them? And that's the balance. That's the conservation.
The bill also talks about capturing methane from abandoned leaking mines, but it does nothing to require it. The bill still needs to work its way through Congress, and Reed says that could be difficult at the moment.
Can't imagine a worse political climate in terms of environmental legislation than we have nationally right now. Having said that, again, the kind of the bipartisan community support that we've seen so far for this, I think, puts it already ahead of other legislation or a bill or a proposal that didn't have backing from the three affected counties and didn't have one of the oil and gas operators supporting it, didn't have the conservation groups. So it's ahead of the curve in that way, but yes, it's going to be a tremendous uphill battle to get any positive environmental legislation passed in the near future.
The Thompson Pass area was being pursued for oil and gas development, but leases were canceled last year by the Bureau of Land Management. The Thompson Divide Protection Bill looks to remove the possibility of these leases indefinitely in expanded lands in Garfield, Pitkin, and Gunnison counties. Reporting for KBUT, I'm Chad Rich.
As Benta Berkland reports, both Democrats and Republicans are behind a tax increase for transportation that could reach voters this fall.
Late last year and prior to the January start of the session, I asked two key lawmakers if 2017 would be the year they find more money for the state's aging and outdated transportation system.
Prior to the election, I convened a group of legislators in leadership to start talking about transportation funding specifically. I'm hopeful that we will be able to come up with a statewide transportation plan this session.
Would you consider referring something to voters and letting voters decide whether they'd want to raise the gas tax or come up with some other revenue stream?
If there is going to be a long-term solution to transportation infrastructure, it's going to almost certainly require something that the voters are going to have to weigh in on.
That was Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham and Democratic Speaker of the House Chrisanta Duran. They're now main sponsors of a bill that would ask voters to increase the state sales tax by a little more than a half cent for the next 20 years.
Do I want to pay a little bit more so that the government's doing what they should actually be doing?
House Bill 1142 would bring in close to $700 million to start, and the state could bond against that for up to $3.5 billion. The money would go towards priority road projects, as well as making funding available to local governments for transit, roads, trails, potholes. But first, Grantham has to convince other Republicans to place the measure on the ballot. He says it won't be easy. For starters, the proposal wouldn't be revenue neutral in the first year, as many in his party had wanted.
We strove to get there, but if we're actually going to get into the project list and actually do something, revenue neutral was a difficult place to be. We tried to get some offsets in there.
And that includes reducing vehicle registration fees and fines that motorists pay. But it's still not enough for many in the GOP who oppose tax increases. That's why Senate Majority Leader Chris Hulbert of Parker says he's already going to vote no.
For me as a conservative from conservative Douglas County, looking for a new equation, finding a way if some want to raise a tax to repeal, reduce other taxes.
House Republicans have also pledged to aggressively oppose the measure, saying the state needs to reprioritize the existing budget before asking for more money from voters.
You've got a collision course between broadly recognized needs and an ideological fixation with no taxes.
That's Colorado State University political science professor John Strayer.
And those things, they divide the parties. They have done that for a long time.
Strayer says he's not surprised some members of the GOP are splitting off. Still, he says with outside groups like the Colorado Union of Taxpayers and Americans for Prosperity opposing it, it's no slam dunk.
I may be a little surprised if this thing all works out and we do something.
Meanwhile, some Democrats worry there's not enough money for transit in the bill, and the tax is regressive. Transportation has become the central theme of this session. The Colorado Department of Transportation estimates a $9 billion funding shortfall over the next decade. Governor John Hickenlooper says he's glad the discussion will no longer be behind the scenes.
This is something the state needs, and I don't think it should be a partisan issue.
Beyond transportation funding, Hickenlooper hopes lawmakers can also make progress on reforming construction defects laws to make it easier to build condos and provide more housing options. But he says he'll likely veto legislation like bipartisan efforts to give local communities more control in regulating private pot clubs and allowing home delivery for recreational and medical marijuana.
Given the uncertainty in Washington, this is not the time, this isn't the year to be out reaching for trying to carve off new turf and expand markets and make dramatic statements about marijuana.
More than 400 bills have been introduced so far this session, and regardless if lawmakers come together on the transportation issue, they do need to find common ground on the last major item of the session, passing a balanced budget. It's the only thing lawmakers are constitutionally required to do. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.